Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are being praised here. We thank you for your word. I thank you that I get to give this word today. I thank you for the joy of my salvation. I thank you for the joy of the Spirit, Father God, just to be in you, just to praise you, because you are worthy of everything, and it is about to begin. So we just thank you, Lord. Bless the people here as they receive all that you have for them today, Father God. We just thank you for it, and seal all that is yours in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yes. Identity reset. Who got their identities reset over the last month? Woo! I believe that you had your identity reset the moment that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. At that moment, you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, because it promises us that in his word. He says, when you come to him, you are a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things are new. But I believe over this last month, there's been a clarification on who you truly are. And all the things of the world are slowly passing away. And now you can concentrate on who you truly are in him. Your identity reset has been resetted. Now you are clarifying, and you're going in and you're stepping into who you are. Let there be no doubt. Identity reset, who I am. This is the question we've asked from different points in our lives. We reset our thinking and rediscovering your identity in Christ this month at Thrive. What would life look like if you lived like you were totally loved and accepted by God? Because we know that we are. Even when you try to, this is a weird sentence, but even when you try to stop being a son or daughter, God never stops being your father. Let that be an encouragement to you today. Breakthrough performance-based thinking and unpack how God has secure love for you every day. In the first Sunday of the month, we had Bill Vanderbush, and he talked about King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel, a powerful metaphor on how believers are supposed to carry God's presence everywhere we go. Remember, he said, what if God's altar was in your living room? Well, live like it's there. The second one, Father God is, that's the dead, decide in his love for you. He's accessible and he is dependable. And yes, he is dependable. Thank God. The third Sunday, we talked about jailhouse identity and that reset with Paul. Who, how important was that? Some of us here might have had a jailhouse reset, or we probably should have had a jailhouse reset. I didn't do anything. Nobody saw me do it. Can't prove anything. And the fourth Sunday, we talked about there's a part of your identity we can only access through thanksgiving, God's thoughts and wholeness. And our key verse for this series is what? What's our key verse, guys? Oh, no. I'll lead you in it. It's a very important one, very important. For by grace you have been saved. Through what? Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. And I'm continuing this week. Not a result of works that none may boast. So what he's saying here is the gift for your salvation, the faith, was a gift given to you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. You weren't so good. You weren't so pretty. You weren't so ugly. You weren't so this, that, and the other thing. So when you're up in heaven, you can't say, hey, I was so good. I got here. I did it. Nope, 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 nope. He did it. So none should boast. But we're continuing. For we are his workmanship. We are His workmanship. We were created by Him and for Him, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Keep that in mind today as I give this message. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And those good works He prepared beforehand that you would walk in them. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You are not here by accident, no matter what anybody told you, no matter what your parents said, no matter what your grandparents said, no matter what anybody said to you, you are no accident. And you have a purpose, and God has a plan for you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Today we are concluding our message series, Identity Reset. Write this one down. This one is a cool name, if I do say so myself. I am confident of this very thing. That's the title of this message. I am confident of this very thing. And my key verse for today, if you guys know your word, you know where this is, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. The thing that He started in you, He will complete in you. Why? Because He's the one promising He will do it. It's not contingent on you. It's contingent on Him. He will do it. Amen. That confident word, the word confident in this, is the Greek word is patho. Patho. The word means to persuade, to convince, to trust, to have confidence. When Paul talks about this here, I am confident of this very thing. The confident that he is talking about is he is 110,000% sure that he will do it. What he started in you, he will complete. In his word, it says, the good work in you, he will perfect until the day of Christ Jesus. He will do it. 100% assured that that is what's going to happen. He's not saying it'll happen if you're really good. It'll happen if this happens. It'll happen if you have some great days. It'll happen if this, that, the other thing. You know, maybe God will show up in the end. No. He is saying and telling us and promising us, He will do it. Because God can do it. He will do it. There's nothing that's going to affect Him that's going to make Him change what He's doing. Between me and Nat, I can say confidently, I will pick her up tomorrow. But there could be human things that happen that will make it that I can't. The car will break down, or this will happen, or that will happen. My intention is to do what I said to do. But nothing gets in the way of God. So when He proclaims something, it will happen. I am confident of this very thing. Mm-hmm. Living confidently in who I am in Christ. Living confidently in your identity in Christ. Are you confident of who you are in Him? As we have seen, God is transforming our minds. He's changing mindsets and growing our faith through His word, as it promises in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And as we grow, He is confirming us in our true God-given identities that we find in Romans chapter 8, 15 through 18. We'll go over those in a minute. Plus, he's conforming us into the image of His Son, His character, which He promises in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. Recap time. our identity. Who are we in Him? What I'm about to tell you is more true than anything else anybody else has ever told you, unless they told you these things about you, because it came from the God's word in His Bible. You are a son or a daughter. Let there be no confusion. You are a son or you're a daughter of God. You are heirs of God. You are fellow heirs with Christ. You are victors. Remember, we were talking a few months ago about being victors. We're not victims anymore. Once you come to Christ, you are a victor. And I know some things have happened to us that are untalkable, but when you're in Him, you are a victor. You're not a victim anymore. That is not your identity. This is who you are. Stand strong in it. You are conquerors, it talks about in Romans chapter 8. And even more so, you are overwhelmingly conquerors. You didn't just win. You didn't just get past the goal line with 1 second left, beating them by 1 point. You thrashed them. It was even close. It was not even close. You thrashed them. That's how much of a conqueror you are in Christ. Let anybody else tell you any differently. You are a victor. You are a conqueror. Why? Because He loves you, and that's where it is. And that's how it happens. You are forgiven totally. Past, present, and future has been set. He says it's finished on the cross. When He said it was finished, it was finished. Finite, done, kaputz, no more. And you have peace with God if you have called upon Him to be your Lord and Savior. It says, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Finished, you will be saved. That is who you are in Him. And if you don't believe me, go to His word and see it in there. That's the truth. Romans chapter 8, read it. Now that we have gone over our true identity, now what? What does that mean for us? We can walk confidently now, and we can put our trust in God and not on ourselves. When Jesus resets our identity, we realize it's a lifelong journey. What I've told you today, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God. I've told you today and you believe it right now, but there'll be things that will come into your life that make you doubt things like that. So it's a constant journey. It's not that it changes who you are, but it changes sometimes how you see who you are. And that's the most important thing, how you see who you are. And who do you believe when they're telling you it? Oh, Caleb, you're just a stupid punk kid from Lansing, New York. No. I'm a child of the one true King. And He says, I am loved. He says, I am forgiven. And I have peace with Him. And that is who you are as well. I let that sit in for a second, because it's hitting some of you kind of hard. Don't let the world tell you who you are. Let God bathe you in who you are. And you'll get that when you spend time in His Word, and you spend time with people who believe like you do, who believe in God, who walk in Him, who trust in Him. They will reinforce the good things. They will reinforce your identity. This is a daily reset. Now we're going to God's word again. We're going to see in Acts chapter 3 in just a minute, two men walk out their new identities in Christ with confidence. We're going to see Peter and John walk in confidence in Acts chapter 3. But first, I want to go through some things to see where they came from. Then we're going to see where they are. See what they walked through. It says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, this is Peter's first encounter with Jesus. And he sees him. And Jesus invites him to be a fisher of men. We also see this in Luke, which is one of my favorite ones, his encounter in Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. And this is where Peter has been fishing all night. And Jesus comes to him the next day, and he says, put your nets on the other side. And Peter says, Master, we've been working all night, and we haven't caught a thing, but I will do as you say. And I don't know how Peter saw Jesus at this moment. Wise man, but he's like, I will do as you say. And I don't know if you guys have ever worked all night. When you do that, it is the worst. Though some people like it. I can't. For me, I don't like it. Some people are like, man, I like working all night. It's awesome. It's my jam. But for me, no. So like in the wintertime when I have to plow, and I've done it all night, and then you get home, and you get ready to go to sweep, all of a sudden one of the customers call up, and they say, guess what? I'm stuck in my driveway again. The wind blew it in. I need you to come out and plow me out again. Yay. So Peter, he's going through that same thing. He's like, I've been fishing all night, Jesus. I've been doing what you asked, or what I'm supposed to do, but I will do as you say. Yeah, I'll put it on the other side. So he does, and then the fishies come in, and then he's pulling all the nets in, and I think this is the first time, though Peter has seen Jesus before, I think this is the first time where he sees Jesus, where he sees him. And he sees all the fish, and he looks at Jesus, and he says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He sees who he is, and he sees who Jesus is clearly in that moment. And Jesus says, from now on, I will make you fishers of men. Then in an act of faith later on in Matthew 14, 22 through 33, Peter asked Jesus to help him do something impossible in his own strength when he asked him to walk on water. Peter walks on the water, then he looks around, then he sees, and he starts to go down, then Jesus grabs him. Later on in Matthew, we also see his declaration of the Messiah. He receives a revelation of who Jesus is, and we see that Peter didn't get that on his own, that it was given to him by God. You are the Son of Man. You are the Son of God. He knows who he is. Then later on, Peter denies him. Peter denies him. I remember as I'm reading this, it talks about when Peter's denying him, there's this slave girl outside warming herself, and she's like, aren't you one of them? He's like, no, I'm not one of the men. I don't know him. Who? Just think, Peter is so confused in his identity at this point. He's seen all that Jesus has done. He's walked with him for years. And then he denies. But then it goes on to say in John chapter 21, his reconciliation with Jesus. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Jesus, you know all things. He sees him again. He sees and he knows who he is. Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. I think sometimes our identity crisis, our identity reset needs to happen because we've done something, even though we know Jesus. God, I did this. I messed up. But you know that I love you. You know all things. Peter has extraordinary confidence because of what he's been through. He's been through extraordinary circumstances. He's had his ups and downs with Jesus. But Jesus helped him get him through them all. Then after all, Peter and the disciples, after Jesus has died, risen again, and now he's with the Father. Now these guys are in the upper room, and they're waiting there. They're tarrying there before, so they can receive the power from on high that was promised to them. The Holy Spirit was going to come down and be on them. And he did. And he came down and he rested on them. And they went out into the streets. Now these men were changed. They are not the same as they were. They are different now. And we can see that in Peter's life. Somebody who had denied Jesus just a little while ago was now standing firm. It says in his word, now Peter took his stand in Acts chapter 2. Once this happened, he says he took his stand and stood confidently in who Jesus made him to be. Now we're getting into Acts chapter 3. Are you guys with me here today? Well, yeah, cool. Checking on time, caught my eye. It says in Acts chapter 3, we're going to go through 1 through 10 here. So just keep in mind who Peter was, but now who Peter is when he took his stand. And if you are born again, if you are in Jesus, you are the same. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are heir to the throne. You are co-heirs with Christ. You are loved and forgiven. So stand confidently as you see what's going to happen here. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb. Note that. I've read this a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and that stuck out to me so big. From his mother's womb, was buried, carried along by them whom they used to set him down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms from those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. This is something this guy did every day for his entire life. It was no different for him. He didn't see anything past it. This is what he did. He sat down outside the temple and he begged for money. That's all he was looking for. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him. And he said, look at us. Look at us. This man in desperation. And he began to give him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He's like, I'm going to receive money that I've been looking for, alms to get me through the day. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Walk. Can you imagine that? The confidence in Peter and John in this moment. They didn't doubt. He said, I don't have silver or gold. I don't have these natural things that you're looking for, but I have what you need. And I give it to you now in the name of Jesus. Walk. He didn't say, maybe we'll get you up. Maybe we'll stand. He said, walk. And this is to a guy who has never walked. Remember what I said earlier? Note this down. He has been lame from his mother's womb. Just think of all the little ones in here, how long it takes them to learn how to walk. It takes months for them to fall down, get up, fall down, get up, fall down, get up. They learn to walk over time. This guy has never experienced what it is like to walk in his entire life. He doesn't know what it's like. He doesn't know how to wobble. He doesn't know how to fall down. He just sits and lays. But Peter said, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood up upright, and he began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they took note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. There are a lot of reasons why God wants you to understand your identity in him. One of the reasons, obviously, is for you. He wants you to know who you are because you know whose you are. And he wants you to stand confidently in that because he knows when you go through your life, he said, you will have trouble, you will have tribulations. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. So when you go and face things, you know who you are and whose you are, and you know your identity, so you can say, whatever happens, I can stand strong in who I am, so you can get through things. But there is also another reason why he wants you to be strong in your identity, and this is what we just saw with this guy who had been lame from his mother's womb. The world needs you strong in your identity because there are people lame from their mother's womb who need you to walk out your identity. Ooh, that might have passed over. There are people in the world who are lame, deaf, blind, paralyzed, demon-possessed, that need you to stand confidently in who God called you to be, to walk that out so you can say, walk. What I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, I give to you. Walk. Walk. Are you standing confidently in who God made you to be? Are you standing confidently in who God's called you to be? Are you standing confidently because you know the one who made you stand? And he's the one doing it in your life. You can stand confidently. You know why? Because it says, he who began a good work in you will, I'm confident, he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. What he has started in you, he will finish because he's the one doing it. You will stand confidently in him because the world needs you to stand confidently in your identity in him. We just went a couple minutes over, Hannah. Just a couple minutes. I get to stand confidently every couple of weeks here when I get to do the preaching thing. This is what I love to do. But I know it's God doing it in and through me. Because I know who I was, but I know who I am now. And now I can stand confidently in what God has called me to do. And now I want to have a special guest come up, Pastor Hannah. And she's going to take these next couple of minutes to show you what it's like to walk in the power of God, in the confidence of her identity in Christ, just like we saw Peter and John.
Amen.
Amen.
Phoebe took the confident word very strongly and has a diaper. So we're going to see
how long
I can be confident in Christ.
Blow out? Oh, no.
Caleb's the Phoebe whisperer, if you didn't know, on Mondays. Whoa. On staff day.
Didn't see that.
Caleb asked if I would take the end of his message and just do a time of prayer. And so I just would love for everyone to stand up. And I just want to pray a blessing over you and just invite anybody who needs any kind of healing in their body. We believe that God is alive and he's moving, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you need any miracle in your body, obviously I got arm braces on, so I do. But if anyone else needs healing in their body, I just want to invite you just to open up your hands. It's not something weird. It's just a sign of receiving. And I'm just going to pray for you in a second. I also felt like there might be somebody in the room today who felt like they were so anxious or were so stressed that they had a knot in their stomach. And I don't know if this is something you've been dealing with all week or just this morning, but if that's you, I just want to invite you to open up your hands to receive as well. And the other thing is, I heard when Pastor Caleb said lame from birth, and then they said walk, I felt this sense from God that some of us, it's like we've never experienced hope from birth, or we've never had peace in our minds from birth, or we've never experienced joy from birth. And today God is saying walk, and he wants to give you a breakthrough in your mind, in your life. Maybe it's freedom from an addiction that it seems like you've had it from birth. And today God wants to teach you how to walk, and what would have taken years can take just a moment in his presence. Amen? So if any of that applies to you, I just want to invite you to open up your hands just to receive as I just close out here in prayer. God, right now, I just thank you for your power in your Holy Spirit. God, we trust you more than anything else. We trust in you. Our confidence is in you, not in anything in this world, God. It's not dependent on our reality, but on yours. And so right now, we just ask for the reality of heaven to come and fill this room. It says, on earth as it is in heaven. And God, we know there is no sickness in heaven. There is no chaos in heaven. God, there is no battles in our minds or in heartache in heaven. And so right now, I just speak healing. We speak freedom. God, we thank you right now that you're just removing any lies we're believing and exchanging them for truth. We're not victims. We are overcomers. We're not orphans. We are sons and daughters. And so, God, I just ask for that healing and that breakthrough in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.